B-Pod Studios.
Sale had been great through five innings, including the eight-pitch fifth. That said, with him getting to the third time through the order, you know, how much thought had you given to having Brazier warming for the first batter? How much was there debate about having him come out for the sixth? And can you talk about kind of batter by batter through those first four, like including the decision to get to Alvarez?
I mean, he was throwing the ball great. There was some weak contact throughout the night. He was on command. You know, the walk put us in bad place, but then we didn't make a play. Then Bregman hits a comebacker to the pitcher, and then Alvarez hits a hit. You know, sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order, you know, and he was throwing the ball great. The stuff was really good. He was throwing 97 with a good slider. I understand, you know, how people think, but, you know, there were two lefties coming up, too, in that pocket, right? Brantley, who he did an amazing job early on, and we had Alvarez. Still, he is who he is, but it's Chris Sale. He's a lefty, and, you know, he's made a living getting lefties out. You got to tip your hat to the kid, you know, to the guy. You know, he didn't try to do too much on that first pitch we met. But now I wasn't even, you know, I was getting ready for the guy next to after Alvarez. We went there, and they, you know, put the ball in play. We didn't make plays, and that happened.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. That's Alex Cora last night explaining leaving Chris Sale in the sixth inning, especially leaving Chris Sale in the sixth inning to face the batter who had torched him twice previous. And I have two main takeaways from that cut, Maz. One is the word salad at the end, the fumbling around, is a tip-off that he knows he screwed up because it was a little too much. Little too much by way of explanation, and by the end, again, it was just gobbledygook, which is sort of like a humana, humana, humana. And the other takeaway was that sometimes we overthink the third man through too much, which, you know what he's doing right there, Maz?
Yeah, he's right. He's rebelling. He's rebelling, and if you do that, you'll get fired.
He's challenging the machines, which we have already determined don't talk back to the machines.
Correct.
So I just, little safety tip or a little word to the wise, Alex. Don't challenge the machines.
Don't rage against the machine.
Exactly. And that's what that was. Sometimes we overthink third time through. Somewhere upstairs, there's a nerd with a pocket protector sticking his hands in his armpits and then sniffing his fingers. He's so upset. There's guys upstairs popping zits, scratching their butt and sniffing their fingers. The nerds don't know how to react when you talk against the machine, and the nerds get very angry. And when a manager says sometimes we overthink third time through,
sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order.
Oh, don't say that to the machines. And the nerds upstairs, they're pacing right now because they don't know how to. They have no release valve for it. They don't know how to cope with that. They get very agitated. And those are my leadoff thoughts on Alex Cora leaving and Chris Sale. What are yours?
Yeah, he whiffed. He whiffed. I mean, and again, I'll give it to you plain and simple, independent of whether there are lefties coming up or not. You're going through the order the third time. I'm surprised he sent Sale back out there.
Sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
you hear that, nerd?
And, Maz, we watched it in real time here doing the Mazcast. And, you know, after he hit 98, And he had that second strikeout. He screams into his glove. You could tell he was really reaching back. Didn't you think that was it? Like, I know I did. And we found out after the fact that Ottavino was up and warming up. But after when he hit 98 in the gun, I'm like, okay, that was awesome. Great performance. You know, you gave it all you. And when I saw him back out there, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
And then, yeah, I believe Ottavino sat back down, didn't he?
He did. Yep.
Go ahead.
He did. And look, again, I think, you know, I just think Cora got swayed by the moment. I think that that's what happened.
Yeah, oh, totally.
I think that he saw Sale amp it up and deliver that pitch and bull his way out of that inning, which was inspiring. It was great theater. That moment, I thought, was like the highlight of the game if you were a Red Sox fan.
Totally. He was in real trouble.
Yeah, that was, again, Murray, it was, what was it,
first and third, one out.
Yeah, that was a big, big moment. He was dynamite. I mean, that was an absolutely dynamite moment. And I think that Cora got sucked into it a little and then said, well, I got lefties coming up. I'll let him go. and I think he regrets it.
He used his gut. Big mistake, Alex.
Yep, he did.
Sorry to jump over you, but he used his guts and his instinct.
Totally trust the algorithm.
And that will teach you. And then the thing, don't talk back to the machine after the game.
Sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order.
Oh, you hear that, Squid? You hear that? The guy in uniform who actually played the game says your machine overthinks third time through and he left in the starter. And oh, by the way, it was a mistake. It was a mistake.
Oh, it definitely was a mistake.
It was in real time. And I guess, I was listening on the radio on the way home. Maz, sorry, I was going back and forth between the MazCast and the game. And the radio cast was all over. I guess on TV, they barely even mentioned it.
Yeah.
Is that right, Stu? You sort of went through the thing, and it's like...
Yeah, no second guessing of the manager, no critical commentary whatsoever. We get it, Smoltz. You played. You want to focus on something else. Criticize the decision. Somebody, please, on that broadcast.
No. The whole tension point of that game was how much was Sale going to give you?
Correct.
And when do you turn it over? That was the...
No. He's throwing 98. He's fine. Like, no, he wasn't fine.
Well, whether he was fine or not, that was the key decision of the game. What were you going to give him? And when were you going to pull the cord? That was it. That was the game. It was a 1-0 game. And so it was really, next run wins kind of thing. And it's like, Chris Sale, and it's a hard call.
It is a hard call.
Because he looked good. He's the makeup, and we all think he's the guy. And he looked, again, that moment coming off in the, so it was the fourth then that he came
off,
right?
It was the fourth, yes.
Right? So it's like, all right, go with it. But then again, he hasn't really gone deep at all since he's come off of Tommy John. He's been garbage against good teams. He's not the same guy. So when do you take the money and run? And when do you push it? And Alex got it wrong. He used his instinct and he got it wrong. And I'm telling you, somewhere there is a room full of clones popping zits, sniffing their fingers. They don't know what to do except fire the guy. I wouldn't talk back to the machine, Alex. I would not challenge that third time through thing. But honestly, with all sarcasm aside, I think you could tell that he just pushed it too far. And especially, Maz, not to have someone up.
Yeah.
Not to have someone up.
Yep.
And to have first base open, and last night I sort of whiffed on this because I forgot he did get a ground out in the middle of it, but he kind of got screwed in that sixth. The leadoff walk was him for sure,
100%.
But then Schwarber kills him. He gets the tap, so there should have been an out there. Then he gets the tapper, so there should have been two out.
Correct.
Okay, but either way, here comes. I'm sorry, is it Alvarez?
Alvarez.
Yeah, Yordan Alvarez.
And first base is open.
Walk him.
And he's been all over you.
Walk him or pull him. That was the time.
So.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you also create the potential of getting a double play and getting out of the inning, right? So look, he blew it. And again, I say this as, I'm not telling you fire the guy or anything like that, but he blew it. And especially, I can also understand how his brain was working, because what did I say to you yesterday on the air? They got to find a way to get a few extra outs in the middle of the game. So the night before he brings in Ottavino, he gets him for one batter on four pitches. Then he goes to Whitlock for two. So I just feel like when they get to those final three innings, they have very few options. And I'm not even getting into Eovaldi. I'm just saying you got to stretch a little, right? It's Robles in there who gets in there. Or
where's Tanner Houck been?
Good question.
So has anyone sort of ferreted that out?
Good question.
He doesn't even get up, does
no,
he?
No, it occurred to. No, I haven't seen him up since game. What was that?
One?
Game one. So I was thinking about that on the way home last night. The only thing I can think of is he's not right. There's some injury or ailment, and they're staying away from him until he clears up. I don't know.
Take him off the roster.
So I don't know. But again, for who? Like, maybe you're better off waiting it out with him.
Yeah.
Right? So and I'm not, but it's a great question. It's a great question. I don't know where he is. But I think Cora looked at it and said, okay, like, normally I'd get this guy out of there. I'm going to stretch it a little. And he got burned.
So, Jimmy, you may open the phones. We're going to start with Red Sox, 617-779-0985. That is I think it's rightfully the lead story from that game last night. And, yes, I think the reason you lost is, again, your bats. You're not hitting. Okay, you've dried up. And that's why you're losing. But make no mistake, that Sale decision, that was it. That was the game. And the fact that the Fox crew is not all over, it should have been starting in the third, fourth inning, second time through. And I'm sorry, yes, I rag on the nerds, But I never said their methods don't work.
Well, the other thing, this is also the way they do it.
And it's so consistent. It would be consistent with how they've done it, which is yanking the guy third time through, never mind second time through. And when do you pull the cord on Sale? When do you take the money and run? When do you pull your chips off the table that you got more than you expected? I'd say once you got into the fourth, you got more than you expected from the guy.
That's how I felt. I told you yesterday, I'd take three and run, and they got five. They got five.
And pushed it.
Yes.
Third time through, top of that order.
Yeah, and again,
yikes.
He has not gone. And again, pitch count, whatever else, has nothing to do with it. Because how many times have we seen Cora pull guys with a pitch count of 53, Tanner Houck, or 71, Nathan Eovaldi? Or, you know, he pulls these guys after five innings constantly because they're about to go the third time through. And in Sale's case, I looked it up this morning, his spike in numbers goes up the second time through this year.
He was at 79 after four, right?
Yeah, he hasn't been the same guy, but the point is, the second time through the order, they were hitting him, not the third. Then the third, they would hit him again. So he was losing it after three innings, really, based on the whole metric. If you go the whole sample size, at least against anybody half decent, he pushed it. He pushed it. He got burned.
Okay,
now, there's also the matter of them not hitting. But, you know, but that was it was a 1-0 game, and you pushed, and then 1-0 became 3-0.
Okay, well, you know, we'll put
and
the
six.
And yeah, and we'll put the whistling stuff on the table, too. Believe me, we'll get to it. But in a little bit, Maz, outside of that, outside of Sale, and what the heck are the Astros doing? What else stands out to you here at this juncture?
Well, so they cracked defensively. That showed up last night, which I was worried about. And I'm starting to really believe there's a direct correlation between how the Red Sox hit and how they field, at least for many of them, maybe if not all of them. So, again, all of a sudden, Schwarber misses a throw. Then there was a pickoff throw that he missed. Hunter Renfro made another bad throw to the wrong place last night. I don't know if people picked this up. You know, it didn't cost him a base or anything. He threw the ball nowhere. He threw the ball in between first and second.
Trying to remember when.
Did it again. It was someone was going to third, and I'll look and I'll find it for you. But he just kind of whipped the ball in the infield, and it's just to nobody in particular. And he had a horrible at-bat in the seventh inning. It was 6-0 at the time, but you finally get a rally going.
Oh, the fifth inning double play was worse.
Was that the fifth?
They're down 1-0, first and second, nobody out. He's 2-0.
Okay, so it was that one.
That was the killer,
That was that one. I got it mixed up.
Yeah, no, he had two of them.
It was that one.
And it's hard to, you know, they all mushed together with him. He really won for 14 or something in the series, but you're down 1-0, first and second, nobody out. He's got it 2-0. And he just rolls over another one.
It was that one, because at that point it was a game, and that was when J.D. Martinez got hit by the pitch, right?
That's right.
So, again, you got a little rally going there. It's a tight game. You get a single into the gap there. If you just go the other way, if you go in with the right mindset, and you say, if I get a ball up and away here, I'm going to hit it the other way, and you hit a single to right field, it's a 1-1 game. You get first and third, nobody out. Instead, knucklehead decides to pull it because he wants to hit a three-run homer.
Or just hit it to the right side or put it in the air and get him at second and third and one out.
Right, just hit it where it's pitched. What are you doing? Especially in a guy who's like inducing double plays and living on the corners. You're not getting many pitches to hit.
Okay, we're starting with this. Your thoughts, 617-779-0985, right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's second and third, one out, and the batter is Yordan Alvarez. After the ground out by Bregman, and that one's down the line into left. What a night. Alvarez has delivered again. Two more runs will score off his bat. He's driven in all three, and it's 3-0 Astros here in the sixth. He's homered, singled, and doubled, and has been shooting the ball the other way.
You got to believe he's going up there trying to think up the middle and the other way, and why not against Chris Sale? Alex, I know you like the left-on-left matchup, but given Alvarez's success the first two trips and first base open, was there any thought about a walk there?
No. We didn't think about walking him there. You know, we thought about making pitches. We were supposed to go up, and he left it over the plate, and, you know, he went the other way.
All the second guesses. Old school second guesses.
Big time.
Where you don't get it much in the game anymore. Because most of the managers just follow the three-ring binder and the iPad handed down by the nerds upstairs. And there's no way Chaim Bloom and his people would have had Chris Sale starting that sixth inning or facing Alvarez that third time. There's just no way, I don't think. And Alex goes ahead and does it. So that, like, it's refreshing from a aesthetic standpoint. Like, as a viewer, a fan of baseball, like, that's great, refreshing in terms of what was best for the team at the time. He should have followed the nerds on that one. And I know I guess you could call me a hypocrite for, you know, blasting the nerds and the modern analytics and all of this and saying that Alex Cora should have pulled the guy before the third time through. Well, then call me a hypocrite. But in my defense, I've never said what the nerds do doesn't work. I've told you, in fact, just the opposite, that what the nerds do generally works. It's just less entertaining, but it typically works.
Yeah, I look again from my standpoint, the complaint is I hate the way that the game is pre-programmed. That's what I hate. And again, this has nothing to do with success or failure, but they adhere to it so consistently. And last night, Cora deviated.
Not Cora.
He did, yeah. He deviated, I mean.
And sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order. Oh. You know. And
God, you hear that, nerd? So, Carlson, you got another thought here before
no,
I go to
go ahead.
Rich in East Bridgewater. Hi, Rich.
Hi, boys. Just a quick question. If they took Sale out after five, do you really believe that collection of gasoline cans they call a bullpen was going to shut them out the rest of the way?
No. Fair enough. I mean, pick your poison, right?
Definitely a factor.
I mean, they scored one run. That means we had to shut them out to have a chance to win. And let's face it, it's just not going to happen. But, hey, they gave us a thrill this summer. And
Rich, you got two more games to go, okay? You can call me in the offseason to do that thing. But your first point's a fair one. You don't trust your bullpen.
Yeah.
I got it.
No, definitely a factor in the decision-making. This is how it works. It builds up over time, and a manager eventually gets to the stage where he says, who am I going to trust out there? And so now what do I do? And he saw Sale throw 98 to end the fourth inning. And, you know, and as I said to Murray last night, it was a primal scream. You never see Sale go like the bananas like that on the mound. I mean, he's animated, but that was like nothing we've ever seen.
But it was also the scream that I think indicated, like, my job is done here. That's why I couldn't believe he came back out.
Was it Pedro pointing to the sky?
Yeah, right.
It felt to me like that, yeah.
I think just the ball was absolutely jumping out of his hand last night. Okay, Corey got sucked up into it. And he looked into his bullpen. He said, who do you want me to bring in, Hansel Robles?
He relied on the human element. Last time he'll do that.
How dare you.
Jimmy in Medway. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, guys, I don't know if you remember the Chris Sale post-game interview after his first start back from injury this year, but it was a really open and pretty thoughtful series of answers talking about how the game was ripped from him and he had taken it for granted and he's never going to let that happen again. And then what happens? He refuses to get vaccinated, gets COVID, and is out for 2 weeks during a time when he could have been using those games to build back up and get ready for playoffs. And I know he was better last night, but maybe we'd be back to the old Chris Sale that much sooner if he was willing to go the extra mile like he said he was. And it's not even, like, political with the vaccine. It's just the bare minimum to do your job effectively and put your money where your mouth is if you're him, and it turns out he wasn't willing to do it.
Fair point. Fair point.
Totally.
Did he put himself in the best position to succeed? Did he put himself in the best position to help his team? He did not.
No.
Fact. So, fair point. Cam and Taunton, what do you got?
You guys have a new shop vac. It's Hunter Renfro. I mean, holy crap. I've never seen a player give a team nothing like this time of year to this level. At least in the past, when you had guys who struggled hitting, like Steven Drew or Jackie Bradley Jr., they were giving you defense. This guy is a freaking rally killer. The one time last night you have some momentum, after Sale gets out of that jam, you get the first two guys the next inning on, 2-0 count, ball in the, that you can hit the other way, and you try and pull it, and you hit into a double play, ending over. And then the defense, as Matt said, he misses another cutoff guy last night, like he did in game four against Tampa, and if Whitlock didn't come in and save his bacon there, he would have been responsible for blowing that game. Like, you can't put this guy out there tomorrow night. Like it's been 3 weeks since Martinez hurt his ankle. I think he can play the outfield now. You can't put him out there tomorrow night.
Let me back this up with Mike in Worcester. Are those your thoughts, Mike?
Oh, my God. Bass, you're the baseball genius. Please tell me, why is Hunter Renfro still in the lineup? The dude can't do anything. I used to coach baseball. I would put the worst kid at right field and put him in the bottom of the lineup. They could do better than Hunter Renfro.
Maz, your thoughts?
Yeah, so look, again, I just, the part that infuriates me about Renfro is that his mistakes are all stupid. They're stupid mistakes. They're brain locks. So, again, you've got a guy on the mound that is getting you to pound the ball into the ground when you make contact. And it's weak contact. Okay, nobody's had good contact all night. He's pitched a perfect game the first time through. You know, like, so here you are. Now you're in the fifth inning. You get two guys on. And you get a pitch belt high, basically, on the outer part of the plate. And you try to pull it. And you hit into a double play that absolutely kills you right there. That was the biggest at-bat of the game from the Red Sox perspective.
You bet.
And it was a horrible at-bat.
You bet.
Horrible. And then again, the game is probably over. I can't remember which, I'll see if I can find it, but he threw the ball in from right field. He basically just threw it right in the middle of the diamond. I mean, like, who are you throwing to, and what are you trying to accomplish? Where's that going?
So we said it yesterday, Maz. Dahlbeck at first, Schwarber in left, Verdugo in right. And that was thinking about Fenway Park. If they're in Houston, do you even need to do that? Can you put Schwarber in right in Houston?
Or still,
but Houston has that short porch in left too. Maybe he's better there. But either way,
yeah. But right's not super deep there either. The big field there is in center.
That's the play. That's the play.
I wonder if Cora will do it because he said last night after the game he wasn't changing the lineup.
That is true. He did say that. Dave and Lynn, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, pitching decisions are definitely a question, but the ineptness at batting. How many games are you going to win where you score one run? Bottom line, the numbers is that they're just not hitting. The streakiness I mentioned the other day didn't refer just to wins and losses, but it's the quality of play. And you're right, it does tie in directly to their defense out there as well. I think they need a good vocal leader in the dugout like a Dustin Pedroia to get these guys back on the same track.
Okay, sorry for cutting you off. Do you feel that way, Maz?
Yeah, so look, I think they rely on Cora for that, sadly, which is an indictment on the roster because Bogaerts isn't a vocal guy, and I'm not sure anyone else will do it. Maybe Schwarber. I wouldn't rule that out. But yes, I think the quality of their bats last night sucked, and I would say overall that I think the Astros altered the way they pitched to them.
How?
They attacked. It was fastball first strike. They didn't. And if you go back and look at Framber Valdez, and I went back and looked at the first game. In fact, the first three games, really, the starters for Houston did not. I thought that they pitched tentatively. A lot of breaking balls, particularly from Valdez. Let's keep it to Valdez. You go back, he threw a lot of off speed in the early part of that game. He didn't attack the strike zone. He was afraid to come in the middle of the plate. Last night, 8 out of the first 9 guys, first pitch strikes, fastballs. He threw first pitch fastball to all 9 guys. So now all of a sudden they're down 0-1. The Red Sox aren't up in the count 1-0. They're down 0-1. And once that happens, the numbers completely flip for any team. But for the Red Sox, they are pronounced.
And it wasn't just that. He's a sinker ball pitcher, so he wants you to try and pull it because you're going to yank it into the ground.
No question.
And you did it all night long. You did it all night long.
Their approach sucked last night.
Tried to yank the thing, and how many ground ball outs did he have? You didn't get a ball out of the infield. Either there were strikeouts or ground outs, I think, for the first 4 innings or something like that.
Yeah, there was only, up until like the 7th, I think, there was only 1 fly out. It was Enrique Hernandez hit one to Tucker in right field.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, and the night before, they hit nothing but pop-ups.
Real quick, Matt in Boston. Matt in Boston, quick.
Yeah, I got to the game at 4:30, and I couldn't get in there until the 4th inning because the stupid MLB...
ticketless entry?
The stupid MLB had a 5 o'clock start time.
Oh, great start time. Sorry, Matt. Sorry it took you so long to get in. I don't know if they do... Are they doing ticketless crap, too? Were the ushers slow? I don't know. I can't help you with that. 5 o'clock start, brilliant.
They should all be at 5.
5 o'clock start, brilliant.
I agree.
I'm sorry. If you're going to play 4-hour games every night, starting at 8, 10, is just freaking stupid. This is a story for another day. We've done it a million times. But every game, if it's going to be 4 hours, play it at 5. You're still playing in prime time. And we can all go to bed and go to work and school the next day. Okay? But that's, I don't want to go down that road. I want to go down these other roads. Like Maz thinks the Astros are cheating. We'll get to that right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, what do you see, if anything, to address over the last, that you saw in the last 2 days? I mean, good pitching, they can't do much about it, right?
They made some adjustments. They talk about it too, right? So, there's a few things they're doing that they didn't do in the first 3 games, and we just got to be ready, and one of the things that we do, we learn a lot from what happened in the past, right? And this is a series that teams make adjustments. We have to make adjustments against them too, pitching wise, but I think offensively there's a few things that they've done the last probably 2.5 games that we got beat in certain situations, and we got to be ready for that.
All right, let's get to the funny business. Alex Cora last night talked about adjustments. So, folks, if you're listeners of the Felger and Maz show, and you've listened to us for a long time, you know that I believe that most professional athletes use performance-enhancing drugs, but I don't want to go out and directly accuse anyone because I like my job and I like my life and my home in Wellesley and all of this. And so I'm not going to directly accuse anyone, but you will hear from time to time. I might say that someone needs to, get in shape or say that someone needs to, after a year in the program, excuse me, things of that nature. There's some throat clearing that goes on. And so maybe I've given myself away. Hopefully that does not put my career in jeopardy. But either way, you've heard a well-timed cough or two on this program. When Alex Cora said last night that the Astros had made a go ahead and play that cut again, Jimmy.
What do you see, if anything, to address over the last, that you saw in the last 2 days? I mean, good pitching, they can't do much about it, right?
They made some adjustments.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't help but...
They made some adjustments.
His voice really was breaking up. The more that I hear it, he had something in there.
Yeah, he did.
He's sucking on a lozenge. You can hear it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think it was...
They made some adjustments.
I'd like to think it's... Boy, he looks like he's in much better shape here in year two. But either way, Maz, the funny business. Do you think there's funny business going on?
I mean, I never rule out anything. I never rule out anything. Okay, and I'm telling you, I've told you that Cora speaks cryptically often in these series about how we learn some things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did it again with the Yankee series. When I say the Yankee series, the Yankee wild card game where he says, yeah, we played them, we learned some things, and then nobody ever asked him, well, what did you learn? Right? So he just kind of glosses it over. And I do think that Cora is one of those guys who will look out for pitch tipping and things like that. And I think the Astros know it. I think they do it. And so is there something like that going on? So, again, we say cheating. But I don't think there's anyone with a camera out there. At least I hope not.
Okay, Maz.
Oh, I do.
You do, Stu? Why?
Yeah, I think there's somebody who's in center field who is texting the Fitbit so that the Fitbit vibrates when there's a fastball coming.
For which team?
I think they're both doing it.
Okay. Well, clearly the Red Sox
and the Astros
failing
are just
at
doing it.
It
better right now.
Okay, so you started something this morning, apparently, Maz, with the whistling thing. Like you're buying into this.
Well, I didn't start it. I contributed to it. Yeah. I don't pour gasoline on it. Rich was talking about it. Rich Shurtleff this morning on Toucher and Rich. Wallach was on there with him, and they started. I think it was Mike Lockhart who started going over some of the video of Astros big hits both in the White Sox series and this Red Sox series. And we touched on this yesterday. You can hear a whistling in the background. So nobody can determine where this whistling is coming from. And back in 2017, the Yankees complained about something similar with Houston, that there was a whistling going on in the background that was tipping off what pitches were. And, you know, could it be that the Astros have deciphered something and are now whistling to indicate that a fastball is coming so that a hitter can load up and take a hack at it? My answer is it possible? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Of course it's possible. It's entirely possible. You're telling me that Chris Sale can't tip pitchers any more than anyone else can? And I don't know that Sale's the good example, but whatever. Sure, it's possible. Yes, absolutely. Is it why they're losing? No.
Supposedly, there were 66 fastballs in the first six innings. 64 of them had whistles before them.
I love
Jimmy,
this.
Where'd you see that?
I love this crap.
I have an industry source.
An industry source.
Is that online somewhere?
A league source, maybe?
Wow.
It's not online. I'm saying it because I have a text message relating to it.
64 of the 66 had whistles?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this.
Hold on, Jimmy. Let's just hear one of them. Like, for example, in
this is the Alvarez home run. The whistle is right at the start of it.
Go ahead.
But just nine pitches in the first inning, and Yordan.
Okay, so again, it's there.
You can hear it at the very, very beginning.
But just nine pitches.
There it is. Okay, what's the other example, Jimmy?
The other is the Alvarez double. Once again, you'll hear it right at the start.
After the ground out by.
I think they're doing it. I think you're doing something, too. And I think Alex knows they got something. Now, we have to go do something. And I think that the cheating in baseball is so inherent to the sport and such a fabric of the sport that even these guys getting caught, it isn't going to prevent it because in that sport, it's always straddling the line of gamesmanship or cheating. It's not like the Pats getting caught videotaping someone where they really had to put the video camera away. Again, until they were doing it again in Cincinnati last year. But I mean, you know what I mean. It's in baseball. I don't know. I put nothing past anybody. I'm with you, Miss.
Yeah, you can't. You just can't eliminate it. And look, the other thing is we're all focused on the pitcher. Maybe it's the catcher. Maybe there's something that the catcher's doing that's giving it away. And so somebody from the dugout is giving away location or at the, you know. So again, Vasquez puts down the signs and then he shifts. So when he shifts inside, do they whistle?
Do you have that much time to react? Because in watching some of these videos, it's like 0.2 seconds. And why wasn't anyone mentioning the whistling the first four games of this series?
I agree, Murray.
Why is it a problem now?
Yeah,
well, we know why it's a problem now because people are losing their minds and they're panicking because they don't know how to deal with the Red Sox imploding over the last couple of games and they need a boogeyman to blame. You people are better than this. It's time for an intervention, for real. The whining, the crying about officiating and the other teams cheating, it's embarrassing. It's beneath the level of what I thought was a smart, intelligent, proud sports region. Is this Jacksonville, Sacramento? Get over the persecution complex, you children. And need I remind you, you have no moral high ground. All these teams cheat. They all cheat.
Including you.
Right. Like, I found myself swearing, with all due respect to Tutcher and Rich, I was swearing at my radio this morning.
Well,
for me, consider this story ignored. I don't want to hear it.
Well, this is your compadre here who helped fuel, who fanned the flames
I got, so I had an appointment. I get in my car. I'm like, Maz, come on. You know, well, yeah, no, they could be doing it. Yeah, they could. I'm like, oh, Maz.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, put out the fire.
I'm sorry.
Maz, a.k.a. the gas can.
The tip off to me. So, Alex, feels like the Astros have really hit their stride offensively. What have they done?
They made some adjustments.
It was hard for me
to great clip.
Get past that one. I'm sorry, because I know what a well-timed cough can do.
See, now the
says
problem
a thousand
is,
words.
They made some adjustments.
Yeah, sure they did.
So, Murray, let me tell you what the real problem is, okay? Because, again, do I believe that something could be going on? Sure, yeah. If Hunter Renfro knew it was coming, he still would hit into a double play because he's a rockhead. So there's always that to get in the way of it. Like, to me, I still sort of focus on that part of it because that's who I am. But the shenanigans?
Of course there are shenanigans going on. There's always shenanigans going
Alvarez
on.
Was late on those fastballs he hit.
Who was?
Alvarez, the two big hits that we just played, he's late on both the fastballs.
So what's your point?
The point is that whistle, knows the fastball is coming, can adjust to where the ball is being pitched.
See, I happen to think, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but 0.2 seconds is enough. I mean, any head start. I mean, if you're just judging hard or soft, you know, fastball or off-speed pitch out of the hand, you've got less than 0.2.
Right.
You've got 0.5. I mean, I don't know. Like, you've got nothing. It's like, bang, bang. If you get just a little something, you know, while the guy's in the windup, like, that's something.
I think that guy's approach, the fact that the ball's going to the opposite field is textbook. I think that guy, again, if you were doing that last night, you might have scored too. And I don't mean the whistling. I mean just hit the ball the other way. That kid had a good approach at the plate. So if someone whistles and he knows, okay, fastball away or fastball, here it comes, I'll hit it the other way.
All right, so the funny business on the table, change in mojo on the table as well.
They made some adjustments.
Attaboy, Alex, well done. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, so you know what? This is a talk radio special, but I actually believe it. Erod pointing at the watch. To me, it's like the second he asks, you know, what time it is, they were on borrowed time. I was talking to Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach tonight, and he was like, yeah, we noticed. I mean, we're too good a team to need that, but of course we noticed. And to me, it's just like you had done it the right way for so long, being humble, letting the other teams do the stuff that became bulletin board material. And these Red Sox are the worst front runners in sports. The second that you put them in a position where it's preordained that they will win, that's when everything goes south for them. They need to be playing from behind. So maybe they're in the exact position they need to be. But I go back to that Erod moment and say, why'd you wake this team up?
John Tomasi on the Mike Holly Show last night. Boston Sports Tonight. Catch us back at the regular hour at 10 p.m. this evening on NBC Sports Boston. Jimmy, what's the run differential since Eddie Rodriguez pointed to his watch?
I believe it's 18-6.
Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, again, you know, whether it's a direct consequence or not, I look at it and say, would you mess with it for? This is exactly what are you doing? This is exactly why Cora got mad. Because, again, what are you messing with it for? Whatever it was that was going on at that point in time, don't change it.
Karma, juju.
Exactly.
You know, whatever, just the baseball gods, all that stuff.
And there's no more superstitious bunch of pro athletes and man. Like, it's baseball players. Like, they know, and the Astros were in shambles. Let them stay that way. And they kind of gave them something. They gave them something to motivate them.
Yeah, totally.
Maz has it. Yeah, if you think we're overstating it, or John Tomasi's overstating it, or everyone's overstating it, ask Alex Cora why he flipped out when he did it. Okay, so Alex Cora doesn't think it's overstated. That's why Alex Cora lost it.
Yes, there is something to be said for that whole strategy of let sleeping dogs lie. We're not going to say anything about it one way or the other, but we're going to remember it that he pointed to his watch. And so let's not make the same mistake going the other way. And they did. Knucklehead.
And to watch Cora again, because I've now that clip has gone viral as this thing is starting to go sideways for the Red Sox.
What clip? Look at
the one of Cora going, no, yeah, it's not an angry no, it's a no of like disappointment, of like, oh God, like exasperated, like, oh, don't do this. No, because I know what can happen. Like, he's been around the game his whole life. And these things tend to happen in baseball.
All right. Yep. Back to your phones, Dave in Vermont. Go ahead, Dave.
I just think that they lost it. As soon as he pointed to his watch, even before he got yelled at, I got a bad feeling. In team sports, you don't poke the bear.
Yeah, well, you know, John Tomasi said as soon as he pointed to his wrist, he said the Red Sox are in borrowed time. They're up 2-1, blowing them out. It's like, uh-oh, that's it. So, like, if you believe in any of that stuff, the gods, the karma, the juju, all of that, that's sort of how you feel.
Yeah, it's just when they do that, and then all of a sudden you start walloping them. Like, what are you doing giving it back to them? Like, that is so dumb.
Nick in the car on the whistling. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Do you think that, you know, with all this whistling stuff, you know, do you think the MLB will go as extreme as far as to maybe eventually put, like, an MLB official or somebody just in the dugout going forward for all MLB teams, just to see if they can see what's going on with, you know, future cases of cheating.
Here's my question. Is it even cheating? You know, providing they're not using electronics, if you're picking something up from a pitcher or the catcher, I mean, that's a great point, too. On fastballs, Vasquez sets up like this. On off-speed pitches, he sets up like that. And they're picking it up, and they're just notifying the batter, all using your eyes. Is that even illegal?
No.
It's not.
No, it's in fact, I would say it's part of the game.
I mean, they're whistling, but they could just as easily be saying fastball.
Mike, how do you stop that? Like, you can't. And like, let's just look at other sports. What was the old adage? You know, this is from any given Sunday in the NFL. You know, a guy gets down in a 3-point stance. If his knuckles are white, he's coming.
Yeah, right.
Right? So now watch his knuckles. You know, if you see, so now you know that here comes the pass rush. So, like, you know, there are lots of little tells. And again, it could be any guy on the field. If you have a left-handed batter up and the shortstop takes a step to his right, you know, towards third base, well, then the guy might know it's a fastball away. He says, well, the shortstop moved a half step to his right, so there's probably something hard coming away here because they don't think I can get around on it. Or if he goes the other way, they're going off speed in. Like, there are little tells that you can pick up that could come from anywhere on the field that are totally part of the game.
Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
Don't give up on this fight against the nerds. You're starting to document a few things. Add Roberts to the list because he followed the nerds with the Urias to let him relieve in two different instances, and he was spent when he came back in to start the game last night. That was all nerd control that failed. Keep the fight up, Mike. We got to eliminate this shit.
Okay, Wayne, why you keep swearing? Stop swearing.
He's genuinely angry.
No, he's dug in on the nerds in the program. I'm telling you, stop fighting the machine. Boy.
We got to put together a little montage of Wayne's profanity.
He swears. You can't do that. No,
he's like the lone freedom fighter.
Seriously.
He's going to die on that hill.
If you want to rage against the machine, if you want to fight the nerds, and bring back starting pitching and starting pitching that goes deep and that sort of thing. Last night is not your... Last night, you lose. Alex Cora tried to do it. Alex Cora tried to use his guts. He tried to use his instinct. He tried to use his eyes. He made a decision based on someone's personality or his belief in someone's human quality in Chris Sale. And it blew up in his face. It was the wrong call. It was purely based on instinct and what he was seeing. And I thought he had it wrong at the start. And so, like, the thing is, I think he was wrong just even from an instinct standpoint. It's like, that was a night with Chris Sale. You had to know when to pull your chips off the table and take the money and run with him. You just had to know it because there was a ceiling there. He was not going to be Jack Morris in 1995 or whatever year that was. You know, that wasn't happening. Okay. So you had to be aware of that. So I thought he made the wrong call. But either way, it was one based on instinct. It wasn't based on third time through or analytics or anything like that. And he lost it badly. That was a win for the nerds last night. There's nerds everywhere saying, see, you don't go third time through. You don't use your eyes, as Jared Karabas once said. You can't use the eye test. And this, you know, I think it's really hurt the sport from an entertainment standpoint. But more often than not, it's right. It works.
Yes, right, because they're playing odds, and the odds tell you that the chances of the other team scoring go up probably 50% on that third time through the order. Like, you know, that's, again, batting average goes from, call it 200 to 300. That's a 50% increase.
So for the first time in a long time, there is a spotlight on Alex Cora. There's pressure on Alex Cora where people are actually saying, you might have blown this. I don't know if he's ever gotten that before. He certainly failed in 2019, but... I don't think people really blamed him. I thought they should have, but this is really like the first time at this time of year. This is uncharted territory. It's the first time they've lost two playoff games in a row under Alex Cora. Mm-hmm. This is the first time they're not sort of rolling through a series. They always lose a game early in a series and then win 2-3 straight, you know, to claim the thing. That's how they've won every series. So this is uncharted territory. There's legitimate second guessing about the manager. My guess is the manager is just severely pissed off his front office because it goes against probably everything that the analytics are telling him. And so this is an interesting spot for Alex Cora. Let's pick this up after Big Jim Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.